Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
And a very good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Magic Round. It has been absolutely wonderful so far in the beautiful city of Brisbane. It's been a carnival atmosphere. It's just been absolutely wonderful. Results so far, Tigers 30, Knights 18. That was the first game. Manly 50 beat the Broncos 6. Congratulations to Manly, who nobody gave a hope at the start of the season. Here they are now entrenched in the top 8. Raiders 20, Dogs 18. We'll talk about that one. South 32, Sharks 22. And Roosters still going strong with all those injuries. Roosters 30, Cowboys 16. Today, Warriors Eels, Storm, Dragons, Titans, Panthers here at Magic Round. If you're in Brisbane, don't miss it. It's absolutely wonderful. Big show coming up today. Of course, all the talk has been around about all these sin binnings, the send-off, yada, yada, yada. For me, it hasn't detracted from a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I say congratulations to the NRL. Reedy stepping in for Hoops. Hello, Reedy.
Hello, gents. How are we?
Fantastic. You've enjoyed the weekend?
It's been a great weekend. I've been up here since Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah, went out and visited some of the expansion teams later this week and now obviously at the football. It's been a great weekend.
I hope we get some time to talk about the expansion thing because I think that's a wonderful, a fascinating topic at the moment. Gordy, tell us your hometown.
Mate, I've loved it. Obviously, Friday night getting used to the new rules was a little bit hard to take and the oxygen leaving the stadium. But since that, yesterday to come here and witness all the fans come, I thought it was a fantastic afternoon of football yesterday and expecting the same today.
Absolutely. Got a couple of big games coming up today. From NRL 360, our mate Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Welcome, Anthony. Yeah, it's been a wonderful weekend of footy. Lots to talk about. I think we'll get there in the end. I'm probably in the minority. I'm a bit of a fan of the crackdown. I think long term it'll benefit the game, but there's going to be a little bit of adjusting to go in the meanwhile.
Okay, well, let's talk about that to start off. We haven't hit the record for the number of sin bins in a weekend, but we probably will get there. We've seen a player sent from the field in Josh Papali'i. A gutsy effort from the Raiders because they still won the game. All right, boys, let's open up the forum. Reedy, you start. How are you seeing it?
Look, I think I'm with Kendi, actually. I think the NRL's made the right move. We know how the world, sport around the world has reacted to the concussion issue, and I think the game needs to get their head around it. And stamp down it because we can't have head contact with the head anymore. It just can't happen. I know we've got rules in place.
But that's been in place for 100 years.
Well, I know it has, Gordy, but they've let too many things slide. Too many things get... accidental contact is contact.
I get it. Regardless. Josh Papali'i got sent off and he should have.
And he's facing
but
3 to 5 weeks.
But Tyson Gamble's tackle on the winger on...
Still high.
Garrick?
Still high.
Yeah, but it's not a sin bin. Well, and I know it's still high.
Gordy, you said it's been going on for 100 years. The fact is...
No...
Head-eye tackles have been illegal in the game for 100 years, and because of a campaign begun by coaches many years ago whereby when a player who was always sent off under the rules, at the very least sin bin, the coaches started to complain, we had no chance to win once we got that guy sent off. And where they got a bit of support around the game was when the player that was sent off would then go to the judiciary, and once he was there, he'd be exonerated, at which point the outrage would double. Everybody said, we've lost 2 points now, and he was let off. And so what happened then was there began this tolerance in the game for allowing the head-eye tackle, and then we'll look at it later under the match review status. And as some people have pointed out, that doesn't help the teams who lose a player, like the Roosters did some weeks back when Jordan Pereira took out James Tedesco, who took him out for the game. He was unable to come back and complete the game, and Pereira was only off the field for 10 minutes. So the fact is, players and coaches have just got to start learning to defend differently. They've got to start bringing the tackles down, and if they don't, they'll get sin-binned or sent off, and the clubs are cotton on quicker than anybody else will get the advantage out of it. So the trick for the coaches is to go away and say, guys, we know this is the line in the sand. This is what we're going to stop doing. And they'll have an advantage until the other teams catch up. But overall, big picture, it's what the game needs.
And I agree with you, Paul. And yes, the game has to be cleaned up a little bit. And I think it's cleaner than it's ever been. No fighting and all that kind of stuff. And no shoulder charge. So we're doing this. Our game still needs to look like rugby league. And we can't lose our DNA. And then I know it's about the fans. And then if you were here on Friday night and felt the oxygen leave the stadium, that's our fans. But they're the ones that they're the ones that are disappointed. They're the ones that come and pay. And then the young players were tweeting, what's going on with our game?
Gordy, the auction left the stadium because Brisbane were pathetic. It didn't matter they lost two blokes to the Sydney. They were rubbish on Friday night. Kevy admitted that.
That's why
people left early. People didn't leave early because Tyson Gamble went to the Sydney. People left early because Brisbane were disgraceful on Friday night.
But
that's why
tries.
They left early.
100%.
No, the oxygen left when two people got sent to the stadium.
Gordy, come on.
I was here as well, Gordy. I was here as well. And the other thing is, Gordy, you've got to understand...
So what are we trying to attract?
Well, this
UFC's the fastest growing sport in the world. It went from
$2 billion to $8 billion.
Sport, no, no, no. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because you are allowed... Listen, Paul, there's still accidents. Cars are safer than ever. They've got airbags. There's accidents. There's still people that get killed in car accidents.
Gordy, and the rules are... The rules are quite simple. You
the
hit someone
fast.
High, you go off. You go off. That's it.
Tyson Gamble shouldn't have been sin-binned.
Because, you could argue Tyson Gamble was careless in his action, and there is a careless charge that's out there. So he was careless in his action.
So, Paul, so you think every tackle like that, right? So let's fast forward to the grand final.
Oh, don't give me that analogy.
No, but just answer this then. So Nathan Cleary goes and he steps inside and Tedesco just clips him high and he gets sent off. Or sin bin.
But, Gordy, the other thing
is... Is that what you want?
No, yes,
is. The other thing is, Gordy, you know, this crackdown's happened now. And initially, you'll get some decisions that are a bit excessive, right?
Yep.
But they will... Trent Robinson addressed it last night. He said they will recalibrate and they will find the right spot.
I don't think Tyson Gamble should have been sin bin. I'm with you. Tedesco, when he comes into contact, he does slip a little bit.
I didn't have an issue with that.
No, but he does slip a little bit. So like
he does slip a little bit.
So
he still hit him in the head.
You can't react.
Gordon.
Everybody that
tackles
Tedesco is going to get sin bin.
Gordon, you can't react
to him. So what's going to happen?
He will get sin bin, but he won't get charged because when they look at the charge at the match review panel, they look at what's called mitigating circumstances, which will be the slip. But in the confines of the game, it was a high tackle. Gordon, it's simple. It's black. Everybody complains they want black and white interpretations. No, hang on. They want.
I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be coaching my guys. Run up, okay, and run at Jared Rea Hargreaves and slip.
Okay, and deliberately get yourself knocked out. That probably explains a bit.
That's what's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So, mate, run at their best player and slip.
Why can't they just adjust the hitting zone?
You can't adjust that quick, Reedy. You cannot adjust that quick.
Well, they've got to adjust earlier. They've got to adjust earlier and go lower. That's what they've got to do. They've got to adjust. That's the point.
If you adjust early on James Tedesco, he runs around.
To the point that Trent Robinson last night, they will recalibrate. That they will set, instead of trying to hit Gordon, you go back to your day, you hit either on the ball or below the ball. Now they hit on the ball or above the ball. They've just got to change. That's the fact. You won't be telling players to come and run at a defender and in the last metre drop 6 inches so he hits you high and you get him sent off, because there's every chance, Gordon, you're going to get yourself knocked out. The fact is, there will, as I said at the start, there will be an adjustment period, which it's like the teething period for kids.
Yes.
Yeah, plenty of whinging, plenty of crying. But the fact is, once you get through it, it's much easier eating steak with teeth than without, Gordon. So you just got to go through a little bit of pain before you can get to your steak.
I've got a pretty good blender at home.
Gordy, the fact is, sports around the world, rugby union, AFL, they've taken this step already. We are dragging we're behind everyone on this. We're dragging
we're
the chain
union
on this.
That can't fill a stadium. And we're not AFL.
Rugby union's problems are different.
You can't tackle.
Rugby union's problems are different, Gordon, and AFL is a completely different tackling style. You look at the guys that could tackle. I had to do a function on Friday. Remember Peter Johnson?
Yes.
Played for Parramatta and South. One of the great whackers. And we just sat there having a little bit of a talk about where the game's going. This is before the crackdown. And we talked about things like that and just the way the game's changed defensively. We've gone through an adjustment in the way players tackle. We've got to have to go back the way that they used to tackle.
Yes.
Get rid of the catch, the wrestle, the tackle high. You look at a bloke like Jake Trbojevic who snaps blokes in half, and we all sit there and applaud when he tackles like that. We need more guys doing that.
Paul, I agree with you guys when it comes to a Josh Papali or it comes Pereira on Tedesco. I agree with that. That should be sent off. But a Tyson Gamble, an accident.
Gordy.
When you're going to save a try. No, Paul, mate, an you accident. Slapped me harder than that.
An accident.
Mate, you've slapped me and said, Gordy.
It wasn't an accident, Gordy. It was careless, and there was a provision for careless tackles in the charge sheet. Second to that, Tyson Gamble won't make that mistake again now. He got caught on the opening night of the crackdown, and he went off. But he will fix his style. It's up to him now to fix his style. That's the way the game has got to go. That you can't sit there and ask for change in the game and then disagree with it. As I was about to say earlier, people want black and white interpretations, and the minute they don't agree with that interpretation, that decision, they then want discretion brought in. So at the moment we have now. At the moment we have a black and white rule that if you tackle someone and your shoulder hits them in the face, then you go to the sin bin. It is very, very simple to understand. Of course, some tackles are going to have more impact and have more velocity and are going to have more repercussions than others. But the fact is, at the moment, it's a black and white rule. If you tackle someone and your shoulder hits them in the face, you're off. Now, if you start bringing in discretion because you think, oh, that wasn't too bad, that's how we got in this situation in the first place, because people started going, oh, that's okay, we'll leave that to be reported later. The fact is, as Reedy's saying, the game needs to get it out of the game. And so don't give me the argument that doctors and lawyers are going to be running the game.
Any player that runs and he slips and the player can't react, and his stomach or chest, because he's trying to make a copybook tackle, he can't adjust quick enough, and the player's head hits him in the chest, he's going to be sin-binned.
That's true, and you know how he avoids that? He goes in lower to begin with.
He's already bent his
back. No, he hasn't. He hasn't bent his back enough, Gordon. That's the point. He's got to start. You've got to start. Have to account for that.
I'm going to tackle the studs on the bottom of their boots.
They learned after Friday night. We saw a lot less high tackles from Friday night to Saturday. And I reckon we'll see less today. Less contact.
I'm going to give you one. What are you looking at there, Reedy?
Well, the charge sheet's come out. Josh Papali, bad news for Paul Green and Canberra, because he's got 3 to 5 weeks for that tackle on Tui Katoa. Josh Hodgson's looking at 1 to 2 weeks for the chicken wing on Luke Thompson. And Jack Whiten's looking at 1 to 2 weeks for the cannonball on Adam Elliott. So bad news for Canberra. The rest of the charges were all fines. 10 charges in all. But only 3 blokes are facing suspension. They're all Canberra players.
All right, boys. I think
I would have lost my license.
I think the Raiders got Melbourne next week too.
I would have lost my license in the first month.
Boys, while we're on,
might not have been a bad thing.
Can we move on just a little to that Manly Broncos game? Because Manly have come from absolute nowhere to get not only into the bottom of the eight, but they're sitting on about 6th place. They've won, I think, 5 of their last 6. And we've got to give Manly some a bit of a rap for the 50 points they put on the Broncos the other night.
Watching when the ball went to Cherry Evans to Trbojevic to Trbojevic, so hard to defend. And they were pulling Brisbane apart, and they were going, and obviously, like, sitting here and watching Tommy live and just watching the, you know, like the Broncos were shifting to try to get so many numbers around him. And they kept on breaking them down, and Tommy Trbojevic is the best player in the game right now.
Wow, that's a big call,
Well,
Gordy.
You can feel it when he ran out, Gordy. The lights were down. Tommy came out early, about 5 or 10 minutes
before. Did Desi get in trouble for that? Because no one was supposed to enter the field. No one was allowed to warm up.
Well, Tommy ran out and the crowd just went up, and you felt like there was a buzz around the place.
I didn't dob Manly in.
Well, you have now.
Well, you did.
Well, no, maybe because...
Yeah, he's a massive dobber. You are a massive dobber.
No, because I was sitting on Fox and I asked, and they said, no team is allowed to warm up on the field because it's not fair for the other teams running out. So you can't run out and warm up when the other teams are on there. So no team was allowed to warm up.
It's amazing the transformation that he has made to that.
There's no way Desi would break the rules, would he?
One guy. No, Desi wouldn't do that. No.
But, I mean, we can put it... I guess we can sit here, and the easy way is to put it all down to... a bloke like Tom Trbojevic. Obviously, the change has happened since he's come back into the squad.
Well, Cherry Evans was the best player the other night.
And overall, they're not just beating sides, they're flogging sides, and they are one of the very few sides that have been competitive against Penrith. And let me say this, Triple M listeners, next week we have the game for you live on Triple M, Manly Para, the great old clash.
Do you know that song?
Here we go again. Manly and Para's well ahead, but the gap... That one?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we might have to get that audio for next week. Hey, boys, we'll take a break. We're live at the beautiful Suncorp Stadium. Magic Round has been absolutely wonderful. Apparently, it's injected about $20 million into the Queensland economy.
That's how much did it inject into you? Yes. How much? Come on, clean. Thursday, I rang you. Friday, I rang you. Saturday, I rang you. Nothing.
Well, we did a wonderful gig at Brothers Ipswich, and they want you next time. All right, well, anyway, don't worry about what I'm doing. Worry about what you're doing, Gordon. Now, of course, last night the Roosters had another win. They're currently sitting in fifth position. The ladder at the moment, by the way, Panthers 18, Para with a game in hand, and Souths on 16. Storm with a game in hand, 14. Roosters 14. Dragons a game to play, 10. Manly and Titans on 8. The Titans, I wouldn't think, will move this weekend up against the Penrith side. But anyway, the Roosters, without the likes of Luke Keary, and so it goes on. Boyd Cordner, Lindsay Collins, obviously Jake Friends had to retire. Brett Morris is out. They've been had an absolute cast of thousands when it comes to injuries, the Roosters, yet they continue to go along their winning way, yesterday beating the Cowboys by 30 points to 16. And the Cowboys kind of got off to a great start. They got the ball back straight away and they just attacked the line. And then as soon as they coughed the ball up to the Roosters scored a try.
Well, they got back into it, didn't they, when Tupanua, I think, was in the sin bin, from memory. And look, I think Todd Payton, there's some encouraging signs of what he's doing up there with the Cowboys. I think they're heading in the right direction, but they're such a professional outfit, the Roosters. You know, you mentioned the list of players that's out at the moment, but, you know, Sammy Walker comes through. They've still got quality. And James Tedesco had his best performance probably, you know, in a month or two. And they're just a good team, well coached, good club, great club.
Yeah, they're still probably at six or eight internationals in their side.
There's still some quality there, isn't there?
Yeah, so the quality and the Cowboys from where they started the season to where they were last night, like they competed for, yeah, well, they're in the game for a fair bit there, but then the Roosters are class. And that's where the bottom sides are, just doing it for 80 minutes. They can do it for, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. But mate, when you're playing the Roosters, no matter who wears that jersey, and that's the culture of the joint now, like Melbourne and Penrith, that they just go out there and they do their job.
Yeah, well, I suppose if they've got to cough up a couple for Origin too, that might start to hurt them. Do you think, Paul, with all these injuries, I asked you a couple of weeks ago, but we've had two games since, and I'm wondering, do you think the Roosters, are they among the top three or four for the Premiership, do you think?
Oh, look, that's a concern there because some of the players that I think they really need, like Luke Keary, won't be coming back, but they will get Boyd Cordner back in, just another couple of weeks, 3 weeks away, I think he is from returning. Look, they are an amazing club, the Roosters. Their ability to suffer injuries and to bring the next guy in, and he comes in, he does the job, and the team goes out and perform. It's something we've marvelled about Melbourne for years now. And Melbourne have been the only club for some time that have been able to sustain injuries and really not drop off in their performance. You see other clubs, the minute they have one or two injuries, that's it. Manly's the prime example. They lost Tom Trbojevic for the beginning of the season and they were unrecognisable compared to what we've seen in recent weeks with Tom back in the side. And the good players now can have that much of an impact. I think that's because of the spreading of the talent a little bit. So, but I worry that we're becoming too much like the NBA where you have two champion players in your team and you're able to then dominate the competition. But the Roosters, their ability to replace players with guys who come in, perform their role, it's Melbourne-like, and I think they sit right alongside Melbourne now in that regard. No other team in the competition can do what those two clubs do in that area, and they deserve an enormous compliment, and I think Trent Robinson should really be applauded for his coaching there.
But, Kenty, you'd be a brave man to say that they're going to win the grand final.
Yeah, no. I always say to people, if you want to, the surest bet you can make as far as picking the premiers is wait till the semi-final start, ignore everything you've seen all season, and just go to the injury list. And if you've only got one or two, absolute most two injuries, then you are favourite for the premiership because you've got to be fit. You go back through every premier over the last 15, 20 years, and there's no team that's suffered more than two really star power injuries on grand final day, and sometimes in some clubs as much as one guy missing can be the difference, and you've got to be fit and healthy I think that was a big reason behind Penrith's success last year. And again, this year, they have a team that runs out every week that's nearly the same. They've suffered very few injuries, and the combinations are really benefiting by that. But I do think the Roosters are probably outside the top four as far as premiership favourites, but that's because they're just not going to get these guys back.
Now, you touched on it there, Gordy, about the fact that they still have, couple of handfuls of internationals and origin players in that team. And here is their coach, Robbo, talking about the great James Tedesco.
Teddy carried us on his shoulders tonight. I thought he was a step above everyone else on the ground, and that was the difference. He decided to own that game tonight, and he did, and we needed him to. And, it was a pleasure to watch him play tonight.
Okay, there he is talking about the great James Tedesco. I don't think there's any doubt that we think he's among the best quality rugby league players in the comp, and we saw him last night. He's pretty much back to his best.
Yeah, it's interesting this debate that the Tommy Trubovich has created with his form. The debate about the New South Wales number one jersey. It's no debate for me. I mean, Teddy's going to be the captain of that New South Wales team. He's the best fullback in the game. I know Tommy.
So you think he's better than Tommy?
Well, I mean, Tommy's in
a rich great debate.
Tommy's in a rich vein of form right now, but Teddy's been doing it for. How long has Teddy been the premier
Every
fullback
time Tommy's
in the game?
On the field? He plays to that level.
He does. At the moment, I agree with you. Right now,
it's when he's injured, you forget how good he is.
No, I've never forgotten how good Tommy Trbojevic is, Gordy. I'm just saying, I think Teddy's been better than him for longer.
Mate, that's only because he doesn't get injured, Teddy.
Okay, boys.
Premium in him.
What about the Cowboys? They've won four games this year. They started off slow, got off the runway, looked like they were going to do things, and it's been a little bit of a, spits and starts at the moment, coughs and splutters.
Well, they went the Leichhardt, didn't they? And it was when Tommy had passed away, they went the Leichhardt and they jumped out of the blocks. And since that, there's been a standard that they're like the Cowboys haven't gone under. And then to go up there and to get that one-point victory against Brisbane, you know how much both clubs build up to that. So it would have been a little bit of a letdown for both sides. Where you look at Brisbane, they got beaten by Manly and, the Cowboys, they were there, and I just think all the emotions of last week probably took a bit out of them.
I said it before, I think there's really encouraging signs at the Cowboys. I think they bought some good players for next year. I think Todd's making a difference there in the last month or so. And I think there's better days ahead for them. They're a competitive team now. They weren't that earlier in the year, and that shows that they're making headway.
Okay, well, boys, what we might do is take a little bit of a break here. We've got a game about to kick off. Parramatta and the Warriors here. A beautiful atmosphere. Caxton Street's alive. People walking down Caxton Street.
How did you go walking down
there? Oh, mate, I walked in there. I saw a few old Bunny supporters that I knew. Plenty of people up from Sydney.
Did you stop in at Abracababra?
I did stop in at Abracababra. I got myself
a kebab shop.
He heard us talking about him yesterday, so he gave me a freebie.
Mate, you get the hummus, you get everything.
I got the hummus, mate. I got extra hummus, chicken. I got lamb. I had everything on there. It was
much garlic, though. I think.
Do you reckon?
Garlic sauce,
I was thinking. Yeah. Well, I've got a packet of chewies in the car. I'll duck out.
Good, yeah.
Speaking of superstars walking down Caxton Street, I didn't know you were so well known up here, Reedy. Because you played a couple of years with the Brisbane soccer side.
1 year, Maroon.
And, mate, people have just come charging out of the Caxton.
See, that's why he wants the head eyes.
I
try to avoid Caxton Street, Maroon.
And then these beautiful women about 50 said to me, have you seen Reedy? Is Reedy going to come down Caxton Street? I said, as soon as we come off the show, I'll bring him up for a beer. So,
beautiful.
Anyway, you're looking dapper too.
There were
nice
unconfirmed sightings of Billie Jean King too in Caxton Street earlier. I was just wondering. You've never seen the same place together, Anthony, is it?
Well, there was unconfirmed sightings of you. Was it the Matraville Tigers junior sports lunch?
Oh, didn't you cop a bake there? Yes, I did. I attended there on Friday and had a little talk. I did it for nothing, Anthony, you'd like to know.
Straight
out of the generosity of my heart.
Yep.
And I tell you, it was a nice function. It was they're a club that's battled and they're a real advertisement for where rugby league's been and where we should be going, because there's a lot of blokes there. One bloke got his life. What about it? I love this. One bloke got his life membership given to him at the dinner on Friday. He's 90.
Wow.
He was 90. Like, they make you earn it. When you get life membership at the Nashville Tigers, they make
Jesus
you earn it.
He's got to enjoy that for a while.
But it was a lovely moment.
Well, Kendi, was that when you were photographed with Bradley C. Stubbs, the coach whisperer?
Actually Wednesday night. I had dinner with. Tuesday night. I had dinner with him.
How was it? Did he get in your head? Did he sort you out?
Enlightening.
He read my energy. He read my energy, and I will not repeat what he said.
I have had
Was it negative energy?
Yes, Gordon, it turned very black.
What did you say to him in response to that?
I'm cool. I sat and listened to him. You know, a lot of journalists have tried to interview him over the years, and he won't do interviews with journalists. And so it was fascinating to sit down for, I suppose I was there three and a half hours, just having a couple of beers and going through his ideas and the way he sees the world. I tell you what, I walked out and the head was spinning. I was just like, whoa.
Impressed?
Well, parts of it, yeah.
No, parts of it.
Like, I don't agree with all of it. But it's all about positive energy, okay? But and some people might sit there and listen to it and think, oh, this guy's just, you know, nuts, to be honest. But then you sit down and he's got a line to Trent Robinson. He had both the 18 and 19 premiership rings on his fingers from the Roosters premiership those year that they presented him with. He talks regularly to Michael Maguire. We went through the conversation. I don't know if people remember this. In 2014, when the Rabbitohs won the competition, halfway through the season, they weren't going that well. And Bradley declared to Michael Maguire that they were going to win the competition. And Mads was like, yeah, of course, I believe it too. And he said, "Man, how much do you believe it?" And he said, "I believe it." He said, "Would you cut off your finger if you didn't?" So they made a pact that if they didn't win the grand final in 2014, they would each cut off their little finger on their left hand.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you think they would have gone through with it?
Well, look, the fact that they were willing to go through with it is what it's all about. The fact that they believed so much that they were prepared to do that, but they also thought it's not actually a concern because we will win the premiership, so it won't even be a decision we have to make. But it was, if that makes sense to you, that was such the belief that they had that they won. But that's a commitment.
Yeah, see, but I believe that Anthony was going to live up to your bet. Which with one? The Titans, five in a row. And I thought that you were going to dress up in the Roosters cheerleader and stuff as well.
Do you know how many times I've had to hear that stupid story about the Gold Coast? In Ipswich, Brisbane, the Gold Coast. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
See, the fact
stop making stupid bets. Well, they wouldn't win a game and they won five in a row.
But I didn't say I'd have a sex change. I immediately said I would not go down that road again.
You I'll did storm say that, Anthony, anyway. But not only
I mean,
that.
I will just get up and storm out of here.
Can I
just,
yeah, well, we'd like to see you go. Can I also say...
He can't. The fact... I don't like him.
Gordy, this is, I think, a relevant point. The fact that they were prepared to cut off their little fingers and were prepared to go through with it, and the fact that Anthony offered to have a sex change if Titans won five in a row and didn't go through with it when they did get five in a row, shows the difference between success and failure.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's one group believes, and that's why they're successful. The other side just throws up willy-nilly comments and just doesn't believe in anything, so just paddles along.
Well, I tell you what, I am going to take your advice on one thing, Paul.
Yes, what's that?
I am now going to start spending Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, as I always do, chasing up gigs, chasing up has-been overpaid footballers to put them into those gigs, and then I'm going to turn up at the gig and do it for nothing. Would that make you happy?
That would make me very happy. Right. Steve Maven is one of your favourites. He came up to me and he said, mate, Anthony Maroon has been talking about you. I said, okay. He said, yeah. He said, he doesn't really live through on his bets, does he? I said, no, he doesn't.
Mate, I think you just should stay away.
One of the great fellows, Steve Maven.
Yeah, he's a champion bloke, isn't he?
He's a friend of yours, if not a fan.
Yeah, he's a champion of a bloke. And all he ever hears is that stupid story about the 87 semi-final.
When he was at the Cauliflower Hotel.
Yeah, but when he was such a great rugby league player from the age of about 8 to age of about 32.
We love you, Mavo.
Yeah, good player.
Rabbitohs Radio. Anyway, boys, we've had enough jibber. We better get on about as pertinent to rugby league with Kenty, with, of course, Reedy filling in for Hoops, who couldn't come to Brisbane. It was just too much trouble.
What, Hoops?
Yeah, just wouldn't come. Some nonsense about, what's that? He couldn't come. Some nonsense about his auntie was getting married or his auntie might have got sick or... some nonsense, and he you know when you make up
sounds
a lie.
Like you've made
he made up a lie, and then he forgot what he said.
No, he just texted me how to look after Ezzy's dog.
Oh, good, no worries.
Because you're out of town.
Look, and of course, all the results from so far this round. There's been some absolute pumpings during Magic Round. Tigers 36, Knights 18, Manly 50, Broncos 6, Raiders 20, Dogs 18. Raiders did it with 12 men and for just a few minutes, 11 men. Souths 32, Sharks 22, Roosters 30, Cowboys 16. Today, Warriors Eels, Storm Dragons, Titans Panthers. That should be an absolute walkover for the Panthers. He is hoping anyway. And those schools are all thanks to Tyre Power. The big free sale is on now. Get the power of Australia's biggest independent tyre network, Tyre Power. Now, boys, most of us Rabbitohs supporters are sad to see Adam Reynolds leaving. Very, very sad indeed. However,
I can't believe he took less money to leave your club. So what's going on there?
No, well, mate, you need to not be so obsessed with what people are paying. I just want to say all the best to Adam. As long as it works out for him, I hope he does well, and I hope the Broncos do well.
Well, I think the Broncos will do really well out of it because he seems the ideal player that they need. They need a coach on the field. They need a playmaker. They need a general, and he's all those things. I think it was important Brisbane didn't capitulate in terms of the deal. I think he wanted 4 years. They only gave him three. He's 31 later this year. I think 4 years would have been a risk. I think 3 years is spot on for Adam. You know, they paid a lot of money for him, but they needed to get him up here, and I think he's going to be great for them. But I think the other thing is Friday night showed they need a lot more than Adam Reynolds if they're going to make some headway in the next year or two, because they lack talent there at the moment. Adam's one part of the puzzle, but they need some more players, and I think they'll continue the shopping.
Do you think Milford will be there next year?
I don't think Milford will be there next year, no.
Now, Paul, before we move on to the Broncos, Adam Reynolds, we mentioned he's 31 now, he's going to be 34 in 3 years. It does seem to be a growing trend, is it not, that players are playing into their 34s, 35s, and as long as you stay fit, well, maybe that's not such a risk.
That's not the risk it used to be. You go back 30 years to, for example, Ray Price and Mick Crane, and they were in their early 30s and were considered old men in the game. Cameron Smith retired last year, having played 430-odd games. Remarkable achievement. Paul Gallen played till he's 37. The fact is that the big difference between now and then is the rehab and the fact that after a game now, players get on the right food straight away, they have a stretch, they get in the ice baths, they do all that, so their body just is preserved longer than it used to be. In the old days, they'd finish a game of footy, they'd go back to the Leagues Club, have a dozen schooners, wake up the next day stiff and sore and wouldn't be able to run for 3 days. Often went to work. But these days, it's all purpose-built, and within a few days, they're back just about fresh again. So I think that it's not a concern that it used to be. There was some concern, if you remember some years back, that Adam Reynolds' body was breaking down. I don't think that was the case. I think that was more about the fact that he was injured and playing through the injuries, and the injuries never had a chance to heal. And so that put out this reputation that his body was breaking down, because as you know, when you're continually injured, you can never get yourself quite right. But in recent years, he's been able to rest when he has been hurt or injured, and has been able to recover properly, and now his body's back and it's in good shape. So provided the Broncos look after him, which I'm sure they will, Adam is more than he's a professional of the highest regard, so he'll know how to look after himself as well. So I think that the 3 years is not a concern. I think the reason the Rabbitohs have let him go is because they just fluffed up their salary cap and didn't leave money for him, under the assumption some years back when they did all their planning that his body wouldn't be holding up at that point. And I think it's a massive error by the Rabbitohs. It's going to have a significant impact on their season next year, and I think halfway through next year we'll be sitting there going, we've made a blue.
Reedy?
I'm not overly concerned, actually, if I'm a Rabbitohs. I know Kenny's saying they'll miss him, and I think they will miss him, but as long as they've got Cody Walker, Latrell, Campbell Graham, Cam Murray, Damien Cook, those guys fit, I think they're still going to be up there and thereabouts. They'll miss Adam Reynolds at times next year, and they need to find a halfback, obviously. There's some young kids in the system.
No one in the south side kicks the way he does and manages games. Game's good.
So hang on, are you saying they need to short-term look for a halfback outside of the club?
Well, I think potentially, yeah. I think that's something that they should consider, definitely. There's a lot of halfbacks out there who've got decent kicking games. Yeah. Not like Adam Reynolds,
but Chrissy Sandow
decent
wants
kicking
back
games.
In.
Well, not Chrissy Sandow.
He's 400 kilos, Chrissy.
He wants back in, I read in the paper.
He only wants 150 a year, too.
But the fact that the other day, Dean Hawkins came in and played in the halves with Benji when Adam Reynolds was out injured. Shows you that the two guys, is it Lachlan Ilias and Blake Taff?
Blake Taff,
They're the two guys that the Rabbitohs have earmarked to be their long-term halves. And it'll come down to two of them. Apparently both very good players. Haven't seen a lot of them play. But the fact that they had to go to Dean Hawkins the other night shows that those two guys aren't ready yet. Now, that would then put into question whether they are ready to do a full season next year, because as we know with rookies, they can come up, play 3, 4, 5 good weeks, but then they start to flatline a little bit with the emotional energy it takes to get up each week. So that's going to be a problem, I think, for the Rabbitohs next year. And when I was doing this function on Friday, Anthony, which I did for nothing, if you're interested... a guy there said to me, which I think is a really good way to explain it, he said, Adam Reynolds plugs in everybody else. And I think that's a really good way to explain his impact on the team. He's not the best player in the team. He's not the guy that's going to score the great tries or do the game-turning moments that we all witness. He does all the subtle stuff, but he gets everybody else going. He makes Cody Walker nice and relaxed. Cody knows he's got nothing else to do but run the football. Adam will get him where he needs to be.
Yeah, and every player that you listen to now talks about where they start and finish their set, and we let them get out. Adam can turn a poor set into a great set with a kick. He's 40-20s, he's field goal. That's liquid gold. When you're a forward and your halfback pumps it over the fullback's head and it hits the grass and it skims along and it gives you 10 or 15 metres, and then their fullback kicks it, and then our fullback's... And Latrell's running the back at him or whatever, it's such a... Well, it gives you energy, and that's what they're going to lack.
And that's the impact he's going to have, Gordon. That's going to be missing, Gordon, when he goes, is that he allows everybody else to just... The luxury of just being able to concentrate on what they do well, because he puts them in the position to be able to enhance their skills. And that's a real skill in itself. It's a skill that a lot of clubs don't have and are trying to find. And it's a skill that actually the Broncos recognise they are well short of. So I applaud the Broncos for going out and saying, you know what, whatever it takes, we're going to get this guy, and then we're on our way. And I think it's going to have a real impact positively for them.
Well, they needed to get a big scalp, didn't they? They'd seen Xavier Coates go. They'd seen a lot of players leave in the last 18 months. But that Xavier Coates was a big one. And on the back of it, they finally got themselves a scalp.
And they kept Katoni Staggs as well, which was crucial for them, because those two blokes will probably play in the halves together next year. And I think Katoni needed someone like Adam Reynolds. If he's going to play six Katoni, he needed someone like Adam Reynolds playing beside him to help him through that education process, I guess. So, as I said, they haven't finished yet. They've got some other targets on their radar they're going to try and find. They've been linked with Gagai. They've been linked with Sua.
But Reedy, what's happening with the Broncos with their recruitment guy and Peter Nolan? Because he's the guy that Christian Wells shouldn't have been coming off contract. Reece Walsh and Xavier Coates, those guys, those young kids, at the Roosters, at those clubs, as soon as they get to one more year to go, they just keep on getting extended, because you look at their potential and you know...
Well, Dave Donnelly's doing a full review of the club right now.
Yep.
The new CEO, Dave, and everyone's job. He'll look at everyone's job, what they've done over the past year, 2 years. It's interesting. I was talking to a recruitment guy at another club last week, and they said Brisbane have got a tough job there, because they've got so many kids coming through the system, and clubs come at them and try and steal their kids, and they've got to make a decision on a lot of those kids before they're ready to make a call on them. Yeah. They have to make a decision on Sam Walker at 16.
Yeah, but
they have to make a decision on Reece Walsh.
Reedy, hang on a second. The other clubs are also making the same call on those kids. So that's
well,
not, one thing.
No, the clubs,
so, well, they are.
Well,
no, they are.
Look, yeah, but the Broncos have got three or four of them, Kendi.
Yeah, well, that's advantage Broncos. Because they get first choice. They've got the guy already at their club, in their system, knows what they're going to get, knows what already living at home, already settled. Whereas the Broncos, for example, the Roosters had to make a call on Sam Walker when they did. The same, and the Broncos had to make a call at the same time where they keep him. Now, the Broncos, for reasons that will mystify me and will stun their fans, actually told Sam Walker they saw his future at fullback.
Well, so, Kenny, I don't know if that's right.
I guarantee you that's right.
And they are saying they offered him a development contract. They thought he was a development player. Anthony Seibold met with Sam Walker. There was talk that Anthony Seibold met him without his parents, without his management. That wasn't Anthony Seibold's decision. That was other people at the club who made that decision.
I don't care that's whose been decision
lumped,
was.
That's
I
been lumped care. On Anthony
Seibold. Who made
Seibold.
The decision then?
Reedy, but other people Reedy, at the club made the decision Reedy, that he was only a development player.
Reedy, a grown-up club does not say to a 16-year-old boy, get in an Uber, come to the club for a meeting, and you're not allowed...
I don't know if he got an Uber. I think his mum dropped in there.
No, he got an Uber, and they asked him not to bring his father... and his manager. And when they got in the meeting, they told him, Seibold told him he saw his future at fullback.
Well, I've spoken to Anthony Seibold. He says he didn't tell him that.
Oh, please. Well, won't be the first thing Seibold's got wrong. The fact is, that's what they told him. And he walked out. And from that moment, Sam Walker went home, said to his father, look, this is what
he'd
they
already
said.
Made the decision, Ken.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't.
3 weeks before that, the Roosters played at Suncorp Stadium. Him, his management, and his family were with the Roosters that day
yes,
at the
they
game.
Were. They were.
And he'd already and he walked into that meeting with Anthony Seibold, and he told him, I see my future at the Roosters.
Yeah.
2 days later, he rang Anthony Seibold and thanked him for the meeting and told him of his final decision.
Why would Seibold tell him he saw him at fullback then?
Well, I don't think he... I don't. Well, that's not what I've been told.
Okay.
We're getting different
versions. But see, this is again, you talk about clubs and how they handle things. The fact that the Roosters would go to a Broncos game, get themselves in the corporate suite there, and say to Sam Walker's family, come and sit with us, come and watch the game from our suite, when they are already under the impression that the Broncos aren't looking after them, it is it's not just Seibold's problem. It is endemic of what's going on at the club at the moment.
That was poorly handled. There's no doubt... they've handled that poorly. No doubt about it.
And now they wonder why they don't have the hottest young... Now they've got to go out and pay overs for a halfback at the end of his career when they could have had the hottest young halfback in the game right now, 18 years old, 13, 14 years ahead of him. Instead, they're going to bought... Yeah, with due respect to Adam Reynolds, but they bought Adam Reynolds in what will be the last contract of his career.
And they pinned their hopes on Tommy. They'd pinned their hopes on Tommy Dearden at the time, and they've let him go.
Must be another error.
That's a
clearly their
error.
Mistake.
There's no doubt they've made some shocking errors over the past 12 months. And Dave Donahue will look, I'm sure Dave
Donahue... I'll tell you what, I saw Darren Lockyer at a Qantas club. And I said, what's going to happen in the halves? He goes, we got this kid coming through, he's the thing. But
Lockyer was on the recruitment
and you know
retention
was?
Committee.
Tom Dearden.
This is the issue. You can't allow the Broncos to go around and start spreading this narrative that because they've got 3-4 kids and they've got so many good juniors that they have to make a call on them and they can't get it right because the clubs that are signing the players away from them are making the same call.
The Broncos went... That didn't come from the... I'm telling you, another club, Kendi. It wasn't the Broncos spreading that narrative.
If five clubs strike at their five halfbacks, they've got to pay overs to keep... all of them in there, so they don't get them. So, you know, mate, when the Roosters go for Sam Walker, they would offer him more than what Brisbane did.
Theoretically, they don't want all five. What that does is it allows Broncos, they have the luxury of getting first pick, of identifying the guy who they think is the future and getting first shot at him.
Well, they identified Tommy. At the time, they identified Tom Dearden as the future.
But this is what's going wrong at the Broncos. They identified Tom Dearden as the future of the club. They let Sam Walker go, and then after Sam Walker's gone, they then... look at Tom Dearden and say, you know what? He's not our guy after all. So they now let him go to the Cowboys, at which point they're stuck without a halfback in the club. It's very poor recruitment.
Yeah.
It's very poor.
And Alfie needs a hip replacement, so we can't make a comeback.
But you know what? Even with a false hip, he'd go as well as what they got.
All right, boys.
Tell you what he would.
We've got young Jacob Arthur playing, Brad Arthur's son Jake playing for Para. Para and Warriors nil, all that game just got underway.
Actually, just on that, it was a great moment. I saw Mitchell Moses hand him his jersey, and the speech that he made about him was, you set the standards in the pre-season for your fitness and wanting to lead, and that's, you know what, like, for me, when everybody hands a jersey, but this kid must train, and when the coach is your dad, I'm pretty sure you have to lead the pack as well, but it's a great moment.
Gordy, I think Brad spoke to the senior players, and they basically said to him, you must pick your son. He's got to be in the team.
Wow.
Yeah, it would be hard, wouldn't it? Coaching an NRL team, your son's in the team, or vice versa.
And that was why Brad spoke to them, because he was concerned about
his father, son.
But they said to him, you've got to pick this kid.
Yeah.
He's done everything.
I just want to make the point for Paul Kent, for anybody listening. Now that's 2 weeks in a row he's pointed out that he does sports lunches for nothing.
Yeah.
I don't do them for nothing, but Paul does. So if you want one done for nothing, Paul Kent is your man.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
Wow, this is unbelievable. Maroon Confidential this week. The boys have been up here most of the week in beautiful Brisbane. And it starts off, I'm not going to get them all in, I apologise. Gordon Tallis twerking at a budget comedy night in the Valleys region.
Yeah, did a bit of dancing. Went there with the Triple M boys and you weren't invited.
Yep.
No, no. So, well, it was actually, you know, like the team bonding night for Triple M. Yep. So
I wasn't invited.
No way.
Even I got a start.
Really was made. Everybody was there except for Maroon.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
So it was a great night, actually, and it was probably the worst comedy night I've ever been to.
Yeah, really?
I was the best act, and I was walking to the toilet.
All right. A local punter brushing Gordon Tallis, Mark Geyer, Ryan Girdler and Wendell Saylor so he could ask Reedy for a selfie. What's that all about? He said he's a fan of yours.
Well, that was at the comedy night. He was the best act. Maybe he thought it was a joke.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it was part of his act.
I mean, I could see
That was his punchline. Walk past all us, say, Reedy, can I get a photo? I don't know who these other guys are.
I could see Gordy coping with that okay, MG and Ryan, but
Wendell.
Oh, he was filthy. He was filthy, Dale.
Yeah, mate, he was shattered.
All right, what else have we got here? Reedy again.
Hold on.
Answering the phone to Anthony Seibold at midnight. Now, what do they call you, the Seibold
sympathiser? It wasn't midnight.
What did he want from you?
He was saying good day.
Yeah.
We just had a chat, brief chat.
What are you wearing?
It wasn't midnight, though. That's been embellished.
I'm thinking of you.
It was more like 7.
More like 12 o'clock in the morning.
It wasn't midnight.
It was about 9:30.
I was in bed by midnight.
Was it about 9:30, something like that?
It could have been that. I can't remember.
I have to say...
About the third fireball by then.
Why is a member of a NRL coaching staff calling you at midnight? Why?
It wasn't midnight, Maureen. I just told you that.
Why do they
your ears painted on.
Why do they call you the Seibold sympathiser?
Well, you call me it.
All right. Spotted. Oh, Shamus.
Oh,
young
please.
Michael Shamus.
Imposter. Imposter.
I saw this with my own two eyes in the print journalist area up there in Suncorp. He walked out the back of the corporate area, and I am on my father's grave. I'm telling you the truth. He was absolutely mobbed by four beautiful women from the Parramatta camp who walked in with Big Joshy Drayton from Parramatta, and they just mobbed Shamus like he had the Kevorka or something off Seinfeld. I said, what is going on here? Unbelievable. And then others include Madge, that's Michael Maguire, Robbie Farah, and Lottie Taguiri at Percival's, while Lottie asked Madge why he was playing Adam Dewey in the centres. So I don't know what's going on there.
Hey, mate, but it worked.
Yeah, it did work.
Mate, it worked. They scored a lot of points.
Now I've got just a few more fringe ones here.
Yeah. Oh, mate, actually I've got two.
You're losing the crowd, Maroon.
Yeah, Maroon, mate, I've got two old teammates in here, and
go on.
I just introduced you to one of them.
Yeah. Mike McHancock.
Yeah, and he looked like that Demir Dokic.
He either looks like
Ned Kelly or one of those guys. He's got the big beard at the moment, and Michael Davia.
Yeah.
Two mix.
They're still in good nick, though. Just to wrap this up here, boys.
I went to Kangaroo Tour with Mick DeVere many years ago. He loved pineapple and Midori, from memory.
Is that right?
He was a big fan of the Midori and pineapple.
Can I ask you, who do you love more, Mick DeVere or Anthony Seibold? Answer the question.
No contest.
A desert island, one or the other. Who are you taking?
No contest.
Oh, my Mick DeVere, mate.
Any more? Mark Geyer getting a lift with a random from Suncorp Stadium back to his hotel.
Anthony, is this seriously your segment?
Mate, this must be your segment.
What are you talking about?
Anthony, your segment is seeing MG getting in a cab.
No, that's not a fair call. Now, if you would
listen...
I'm trying my hardest to listen
because I'm falling asleep.
I said MG getting a lift with a random from Suncorp Stadium back to the hotel.
Okay,
you're really struggling.
It might have been a random to you, but it might be someone that he knew.
Anthony, stop siding with him.
Do you know how these things work?
He bought me chicken twisties. I've got it.
What? Yes, Paul.
Do you know how these things work? Right. So you got to find little interesting stories, and the keyword's interesting there, Anthony.
Not some bloke getting into a car.
We all get into a car at some point in our lives.
What? With that, a random that you've never met?
Yes.
I'm sure you do.
Uber taxi drivers.
All right. Okay, one last one.
Let's build this up, drum roll.
Brett Reed and Peter Volandi's having dinner while Ben Dobbin gate crashed. Is there any truth
to
that?
No, Dobbo was invited. That's, oh, he wasn't. A bit harsh on Dobbo.
He wasn't invited.
He was invited, yeah.
I'm barring this segment. That's the last you'll hear of it. We're going to take a break.
I'm not sure it'll be missed, Marie.
Parramatta's... Oh, hang on, mate. You won't be missed either, right? You're just filling in. Wow. After all I've done for you.
Mate, what about Villani's hanging around with the heavy hitters, Dobbo?
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.